Do you or someone you love wish you had a better job? Want to be happier on your current job? Don't even have a job? Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko.
I recently got a career builder survey. They hired the Harris, created a Harris poll, which really, surprised me. They found that over a third of employees have called into work sick when feeling well during the past year. The survey also listed some of the year's more outrageous excuses for calling in sick, and so I'm going to tell you, this is amazing. 38% of employees have called into work sick when feeling well in the past year. Now, this is what really surprised me. It's up from 28% just last year, from 28% to 38%. And one-third of employers have caught an employee lying about being sick simply by checking social media. This was a national survey, 3,321 full-time workers and 2,326 hiring managers. So that made me start to think about the question of, is it ethical to take a sick day when you're not well? Now, we're not talking, obviously, if your kid is, you wake up in the morning and your kid is suddenly sick, or your spouse is suddenly sick and you've got to take him to the doctor or whatever. Of course, that's, we won't debate that here at all. And of course, if you know in advance that you've got a family member who's sick, in California, we have paid family leave, so the Family Leave Act kicks in. So we're not talking about that here. We're talking about when illness is in no way at play. And yet, when I thought about it and just didn't, give a visceral reaction, there really are two sides to the argument. There are arguments for why employees should take, or at least can feel justified ethically in taking a sick day when well. And of course, there are arguments why it's not. So I thought, what a perfect topic for one of our switch sides debates. And when I use the word our, those of you who are regular listeners to the show know I'm referring to my usual debate partner, Dr. Barbara Nemko, Napa County Superintendent of Schools. Barbara, welcome.
Thank you.
And the way it works, because we it's important to not choose who's the better debater, but which arguments are wiser. We do what's called a switch sides in the middle debate. So we will start by, I guess we usually do it this way, I will start by taking the pro argument. I will make the arguments for why it is ethical to take sick days when you're not sick. Then Barbara will make the arguments for why it is not ethical, and then we'll switch. And I'll take the other side, and she'll take the other side. And in the end, afterwards, we'll invite you to call in and say which side is more persuasive to you, or certainly to amplify. I'm sure we don't have a monopoly on good reasons on both sides of these issues, so we will welcome hearing what your perspective is. But for now, is that all sound good, Barb?
Sounds perfect.
Okay. All right. So here are the arguments for why it is ethical to take a sick day even when you will. And by the way, we're also talking about workplaces that don't have PTO. PTO is paid time off where you can take it whenever you want. There's still many employers that are still have sick days and, in fact, have gone back to sick days for reasons that are beyond the scope of this conversation. So it's still sick days, pardon the pun, are alive and well in many workplaces. So here is my best shot at why it is ethical to take sick days when you're well. Employers are demanding so much of us. Ever more, there's this always threat of downsizing, part-timing, offshoring. The stress is enormous, and the competition is getting more ruthless in this global economy. And so we occasionally need a mental health day. Shouldn't employers trust us enough to know that if we really don't need a mental health day, most of us want to do the right thing, we want to do our work. So, damn it, if we need a mental health day every so often, we shouldn't go and blame the worker, let alone what's typically going on. As I read in that result of the Harris poll, what's happening is that trust between employer and employee is dissipating ever more. And so the employer says, oh, well, I'm reading these statistics about how much all these sick days that are getting taken, and so I'm going to go and ratchet up my policing, and I'm going to go and check them out, and I'm going to call and get doctor's notes, and I'm going to go and check their social media. And it creates this horrible culture. Why not give the poor worker a break? Let him or her take an occasional, you know, mental health day. Obviously, if it's excessive, it's one thing. And the other, a more radical argument for why it's ethical to take sick days is income inequality is growing. The fat cats at the top, the bosses are making all the money, and all of the workers, they're getting just the crumbs. And in that global economy, it's ever more possible for employers to pay you part-time and temp, and they hire you 29 hours so they don't have to give you Obamacare. Employers are unfair, and so there's a small blow for equity and justice by taking an occasional mental health day. In fact, my employer is stealing from me every time that he or she asks me to stay late and doesn't get paid. And if I am an exempt employee, I don't get overtime. She is taking advantage of me. She's stealing from me by making me stay late or do something on the weekend. They also steal from me metaphorically every time they insist I conform, that I show no emotion at work and I just have to keep that little pleasant, perky corporate demeanor. Of course, the same is true in nonprofits and government as well. No visible tattoos, let alone pink hair. They are stealing my humanity. We are human beings, not machines. We should be allowed to take a sick day, even heaven forbid we're not sick, if we feel we need it, at least occasionally. Okay, that's my best shot at the argument for why it's ethical to take a sick day, even when you're well. Barbara, you take the other side of the argument, and then we'll switch sides.
I can't. I'm going to be busy now dyeing my hair pink. I think all of those arguments are really just rationalizations. When you take a job, you usually sign a contract. Or if you don't actually sign something, there is an unspoken contract between you and the employer. And everybody gets an opportunity to see the employee handbook. And that lays out what is the basis for this contract. And it says you have certain number of work days, you get certain number of paid holidays, which tend to be fairly generous. You have a certain number of sick days, which truly are for when you're sick and we don't want you coming in and infecting everybody else. And as we all know, sadly, people get serious illness. And so they can continue to be paid if they haven't used up their sick days. And in many instances, people in corporations, workers will band together and donate a certain number of their sick days so that a colleague who truly is ill is able to get the treatment that they need without worrying that they're losing their income. So there is an agreement that is made that when you take this job, you are agreeing to the rules that have been given to you. Once you stop doing that, then you're a liar. And sadly, some people are such poor liars that they post pictures of themselves at the opening day of the baseball season or the basketball game when they've called in sick. It's one thing to say to the employer, you know, I'm just feeling overwhelmed at the moment, and if you don't mind, I would like to use one of my sick days as a mental health day. I just need to de-stress a little bit. Now, if it were me, I'd be thinking that probably the de-stressing is going to cause me more stress because I'll be a day further behind in my work, but that's just me. So you can make that arrangement. But to out-and-out lie is just not the way we would expect you to behave. And remember that this boss, this owner, this rich fat cat, most of the people who are at the top in these businesses are very hard-driving, very hard-working, and are typically working on a more 24/7 kind of basis. Yes, they get paid more, but they don't leave it at the office when they go home. They're always, in order to stay at the top, they're always learning, reading, going to lectures or attending conferences or trying to stay at the top of their game, which you don't have to do if you are not at that level. So, yeah, exempt employees may occasionally put in overtime, that they're not getting specifically paid for, but they are getting paid. They're getting paid in the fact that they're earning a higher salary.
Okay. Well, thank you. Very great. You're listening to Work with Marty Emko. We're doing one of our Switch Sides debates on a work-related issue, and that is the recent survey results that the percentage of people who claim to take a sick day when they're not, in fact, sick has gone up from 28% to 38% in just one year. To make this very fair, I started out taking the argument, the side that is in favor of taking sick days, even when you're not sick. Barbara took the side that's against. Now I'm going to make the argument against why it's against it being fair, and then Barbara will take the pro side, and then we will invite you to call in. Let me see here. I've just gotten a note from my engineer here. Some employers demand advance notice before taking time off vacation, right? Sometimes that's correct. I know that's true. And sometimes as much as a month's notice. A lot of times employees can't predict when she needs a day off for non-sick reasons. Hence, they take sick days for notice flexibility reasons. Okay, thank you for adding that. So now I'm going to make the argument, best argument I can, against taking sick days. It is, as Barbara said, lying, and it's really stealing. You did make an agreement to receive X amount of compensation for your work, and now you and getting X amount of vacation days, sick days, holidays, and now you're lying to get more. In fact, in the survey, they actually quoted some of the kind of more memorable excuses that people used. Quote, the employee claimed his grandmother poisoned him with ham. Another one, the employee was stuck under the bed. Third one, employee broke his arm reaching to grab a falling sandwich. Employee said the universe was telling him to take a day off. Employee's wife found out he was cheating. He had to spend the day retrieving his belongings from the dumpster. And now, these could be true. I don't know. They're just memorable.
Well, I think the last one's pretty good.
I got more. These are top ten.
The falling sandwich doesn't pass my common sense.
Well, they could.
Retrieving your belongings from the dumpster because your wife found out you're having an affair. I'm good with that one.
But if you said he broke his arm, then he's going to come in a sling for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not good with that one. I said.
But I'm saying it could be legitimate because he'd have to lie. He's saying he broke his arm. He obviously has to substantiate that later. So these are just more for humor before I get back to it. Employee poked herself in the eye while combing her hair. That's why she said she needed a day off. Employee said his wife put all his underwear in the washer. Employee said the meal he cooked for a department potluck didn't turn out well. These are reasons why he took a sick day when he wasn't sick. Employee was going to the beach because the doctor said she needed more vitamin D. And finally, the employee said her cat was stuck inside the dashboard of her car. Now, no one is saying these are lies. Nobody can verify these. But these were certainly some of the more memorable excuses that were given in the result of this Harris, as part of this Harris poll. Okay, so now. Back to the argument for taking this. I'm taking the side that it is not ethical to take a sick day when you're not sick, except, of course, if your kid or spouse is suddenly sick. That's not an issue. In any case, yes, you are not only lying, but you're stealing. And if you think you deserve more, fine, ask for a raise. If your boss doesn't give you a raise and you have greater value in the marketplace than your evil employer thinks, certainly there are thousands of other jobs that you can take. Also remember that we making this assumption that when the worker is coming to work, he or she is working a zillion hours. Well, even if, let's assume that the 40-hour-a-week worker is working every minute of that 40 hours, that's only 2,000 hours a year. There are 8,760 hours in a year, plenty of time for mental health and other personal time off. There was a study I cited a few months ago here on the show that an average of 2-point-something hours a day in that supposed workday, not counting lunch and not counting legal breaks, are spent on things like Amazon, Facebook, People Magazine, etc. So, you know, is there not enough time built in order already for mental health breaks of a shorter or longer period? Let me see what else I can say. Yeah, I guess those are the arguments. Oh, yes, a couple more examples. I've given these examples on the show before. But the argument that, that, you know, workers are being worked to the bone or whatever, there have been, while I'm sure this is not the majority of workers, there are certainly plenty of workers who do things that are not exemplary of hard work. I never, ever, for the rest of my life, will forget when I went to the federal building in Oakland, and I walk up to a floor where there are workers in the offices, and there was probably 12 desks, of which 5 were empty. The other 7 were filled. They were complete. All the 5 empty desks were completely neat. There were papers lined up, so clearly they didn't feel like they were overwhelmed with stuff. Then the other 7 or so, they were, every person there was either, and maybe not be everyone, but most of them, were either literally, I remember one filing her nails, another one reading People magazine, and the others were kind of just hanging out, and their desks were completely neat. There was nothing seeming going on. So it's not like these workers are, you know, working to the bone. Also, I've told the story here, and this was not, I've told the story, a caller to this very show said he used to be a carpenter for the city and county of San Francisco, and they were building a fence, and it was one of his first days on the job, and after they finished building the fence, he saw the other workers starting to tear it down, and he said, well, why are they doing that? Oh, well, we don't have enough work to do, and we don't want the supervisor to come by and think we don't have enough work to do. We might get laid off. And the worker said, what? And some other guy comes over and says, you don't like it? You better watch your tires when you get back and make sure they're not slit. So not everybody is working like a dog. One more example, which I have also mentioned somewhere in the past on the show. I was at a Christmas party a couple of years ago. And I remember it was at Larry and Janet's. And there was a guy who had flown out from Detroit to go to the party. Or maybe he was retired, but he talked about when he was at the Ford plant, he was on the assembly line, and they would all be high on pot at work and would do things like they would put a bolt into the differential of the transmission or whatever, the bolt part of it, so the car would rattle. And the guy said they thought it was very funny because that way the quality assurance people would be befuddled. I mean, so, you know, the image, there are many, many hard workers in all sectors, in government and private sector, etc. But to broad brush imply that the workforce is this hard working group and the managers are a bunch of evil fat cat pigs who are not working as a justification for taking mental health days and sick days when you're not sick and going to the ball game or whatever. I even remember, by the way, the San Francisco Giants billboard a couple of years ago said the Giants are playing tonight, time for a sick day. So I think that for all those reasons, in balance, it is unfair to endure, to assert that taking sick days when you're well is ethical. That's my best shot. Now, you close the argument, Barbara, and you take the argument for why it is ethical to take a mental health day or a sick day when you're not sick.
Okay. Remember, there is a pretty strong correlation between your mental state and your physical health. And one of the ways in which we believe people tend to get sick is when they get stressed. And somehow it lowers their immunity, and then they're more susceptible to illness. So when you take a true mental health day, by which I do not mean going to the opening of the Giants season.
Well, what if you need to go to the Giant game because you need to de-stress? What's wrong with going to the Giant game?
You don't need to de-stress at the Giants game. But if you really are feeling overwhelmed, there's a lot of stuff piling up at home and you can't get to it because you're working. I don't have a problem with the very occasional, yes, you can take a mental health day. That is part of health. I also think that this contract between employer and employee has become very frayed over the last number of years with the advent of outsourcing and the ability to have your job done by someone on a computer in a country that may be thousands of miles away. So you may be an excellent employee and you are working hard, and suddenly one day they announce that 3,000 people are going to be let go in the company, or 1,500 jobs are going to be shipped overseas. So all of this loyalty to the company, because the company you thought had your back and that you would have this job for many, many years, it's hard to feel loyal into a group that would just cut you loose like that without worrying at all about what's going to happen to you and your family and for the rest of your life. So the fact that you take the occasional day off, the 8 hours that you had promised to give, they can cut off your job for the rest of your life. So I don't find that such a terrible thing to do. Why not take the occasional day off? That's you haven't taken it because you got a cold, so you get the bonus of not having gotten sick, and you take a day off. And everybody ought to be entitled to have that little bit of freedom. It's still within the context of the contract. If you get 10 sick days a year, you're not taking 12 days. You're taking the 10 days and trusting to luck that you're not going to need them for anything more serious than the fact that you're feeling like you could use a day off, and it doesn't seem to be on the horizon in terms of a holiday. So that's why I think it would be okay.
Okay, dear listeners, we have done our very best to present both sides of the argument of, is it ethical to take a sick day when you're well? And so now it is time for you. We invite you to call in and to either say which side you think is more persuasive. Obviously, you're not voting for me or for Barbara, because we've both taken both sides, switching sides in the middle, or to add an argument that we have not thought of, or to provide an example from your life, either in what you've been doing at work and with regard to taking a sick day when you're not sick, or somebody else you knew. You know, what is the impact on the workplace, your stories, your amplifications, your additional perspectives. As long as they're respectfully dispensed, all perspectives are welcome here on Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. For those of you just joining us, we have just had a debate on the question of, is it ethical to take a sick day when you are well? Assuming, of course, that you were not talking about when your kid or your spouse is suddenly sick, that's a whole other issue, and that is unarguable. So, the phone number here at Work with Marty Nemco and KALW, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And while we're waiting for calls to come in, I thought what I would do, calls are coming right in already, so we will just wait for the call to get on the line. And we will go right to the phones in just a second. So, my dear listeners, I ask you to bear with us. And, all our lines are lighted up. So, there we go.
Probably some Giants fans who want to kill us.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. What is your perspective?
Are you talking to me?
I am.
Okay, great. Well, I've been kind of on both ends of this because I've worked as the supervisor as well as, you know, just a in the trenches employee. While I was a supervisor about a year ago, I had a kidney stone, and I didn't really even know what it was because I'd never had them before.
They're supposed to be so painful, my God. Yeah.
They are incredibly painful.
Right.
So I was had agreed to be on a panel at night, which I wasn't being paid for, but that was a pretty common part of my job, and I didn't have any problem with it. I called my supervisor and told her what was going on, and she said, basically, you know, we really need you at this panel. Be there, you know. So I went.
Ow.
I barely was able to drive home.
I believe you.
I went directly to the emergency room.
Jesus.
The emergency room, you know, wanted to admit me and do tests and so forth, so I was still in the hospital the next morning. I called my supervisor. She wasn't at her desk, so I left a message explaining that, this is what I have.
Sure.
And I'm not sure how long I'm going to be out, but
right.
I keep her informed.
Right.
I was written up.
Oh, Jesus.
Not informing her ahead of time that I was going to be...
There's a special place reserved in hell for her.
Yeah, no kidding. And the reason she was able to do that was because the company, about 6 months before that, had decided to dispense with sick leave and have all of our off time changed into PTO, which we could do anything we wanted to with.
Right.
But the caveat was we had to get approval for our supervisor before we could take any of those.
But
days.
How can this woman be so retarded as to think that in a case of an emergency, she's going to follow that stupid rule? I mean, I was string her up by her or whatever's.
Well, at least she should have been written up for...
Right, exactly. Jesus.
But you know, I guess my point is just that while I agree with you that it's not right to, you know, take a sick day when you're not sick without it, working it out with your employer, I also feel that why people are inspired to do that is, one, because of this sort of thing where the employer, you know, makes it almost impossible to be sick ethically, and two, because I think people are so frightened of, you know, needing their sick leave that they don't take it when they ought to, and that was the problem that I saw.
Yes, I've heard that. Yes, I've heard. I've never heard anything that extreme, but I've certainly heard where many workers are afraid to take sick days when they're a little sick because they're afraid it's going to be not perceived as legitimate. So I want to thank you very much for the call. That's a valuable perspective. Barbara, did you want to add anything?
I hope the supervisor who was such an idiot is listening.
Really? Okay, all our lines are lighted up. So let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. What is your perspective on the question of when on whether it is ethical to take a sick day when you are not sick?
I think if it's earned time, and it's not abused at all, I think you should. I mean, you know, a lot of people are doing more work often, frequently, and don't have language around mental health. Sometimes it's mental health, sometimes it's exhaustion. So I think as long as it's not an abuse, no to football games or basketball, any sports. But I think from time to time, if you're responsible and you understand that, you know, sometimes you might be on the verge of getting sick or you're just totally exhausted, I think it's okay. One other thing, Mr. Nemco.
Sure.
The examples that you gave, I sort of all.
Which
of
example? I've given examples on both sides. I've given a lot of examples.
Examples from public sector workers. I think that's so stereotypical. I think there's a. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily the sector. I think it's individuals and how they come to the work.
You may recall I mentioned the Ford plant in which the workers came in stoned and were putting bolts in. So, yes, it absolutely is across both sectors. Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the call. Barbara, okay. I'm curious what you think of it. Here's my honest opinion. While, of course, in my mind, let me say it this way. The price that the workplace pays for being too policing is too great if it's applied in general. If, like the caller said, let's say it's even let's say the person is obviously if they're absolutely exhausted, then they're kind of sick. But if they're a little tired and they think they might benefit from a day off to whatever, we'll agree that it maybe in the larger scheme of things is not ethical. But the price that gets paid to do all this policing is a tarnishing of the workplace greater than the benefit derived of stopping those occasional workplaces. If there's a worker who always seems to manage to take all kinds of days off, especially on Fridays and Mondays, one gets the sense that the person who's going to do that is also likely to be more of a slacker during the time they're there. Fine, let's take an individual approach to that person. But I don't think we need to escalate what is already escalating hatred between the man, the employer, and the worker by being kind of absolutely rigid in enforcing mental health days. What's your opinion, Barbara?
Well, I thought the first caller, I totally agreed with hating the employer
The
supervisor who said, you didn't tell me in advance. I mean, that's bizarre. The second caller,
when she had a kidney stone,
that she was my kind of woman because she was perfectly reasonable. No to football games. That's not how you take the day off. But if you've earned a certain amount of time off, and what all of this speaks to in my mind is the notion that we need to be more flexible.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't a whole lot of reason other than being on a factory line why everybody needs to work 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, between the hours of 8 and 5 or 9 and 5 or whatever those hours are. With most work today being done on a computer, we ought to build in some flexibility. And there shouldn't be any reason why somebody can't work 4 days a week, 10 hours a day, or 4.5 days a week and leave early on a Friday or a Monday or whatever, as long as the job can get done. And again, we need to be reasonable. the people who work in accounting and payroll generally don't have that flexibility because everybody else wants to get paid on the day they expect to get paid. So they don't have the flexibility to just decide they'll take a random Friday off. But for most jobs, there should be more ability to decide how to use whatever number of days the employer decides you get a year off, and that would be your sick leave and your personal time. And I'm a big fan of personal time, and I would say with personal time, if you can, it would be nice for us to know when you're planning to take it. But if something comes up, that's what the personal time is for. So you take it when you need it, again, as long as you don't abuse it, and that should be a personal conversation between the employer and the supervisor.
I also think that flexibility needs to vary with the individual. There are some people, again, who are abusing it and others who are not. Some who work like dogs and are brilliantly working hard and smart and being amazingly productive even in a fairly short amount of time, and they should be given more latitude than somebody who's always doing the minimum and who is reading People magazine during the work, during their non-break time at work. So I think, again, you know, I am not a fan of uniformity. If we really say we celebrate diversity, we're not just talking about melanin. We're talking about diversity of human beings. We're all very different in how hard we work, how well we work, how ethical we are. And I think all of that, really, the wise boss, as much as possible. I know that in certain situations, for example, in unionized situations, there's a lot of pressure to treat everybody the same. But in the cosmically ethical, from the cosmically ethical perspective, the wisest thing to do is for the boss to be kind of, think cosmically, what is most just for this individual at this point in time. You buy that?
Absolutely, because there's diversity in life situations. There are the younger people who may have children that can be very demanding, and it's hard to juggle their schedules. There are people, older people taking care of their parents who also have to juggle schedules. There are single people who shouldn't have to do everybody else's work just because they can't come up with a good reason why they have to take care of somebody. We need to have these conversations between the supervisor and the employee.
All of our lines continue to be lighted up. You're listening to Work with Marty Nemko. Welcome to the show. It is your turn on the air. What is your perspective on the issue of when it is, or ever, if ever, ethical to take a sick day when you are not sick?
Hi. You've used the phrase mental health day a lot, but you haven't addressed mental illness pointedly, as in people who have diagnosed depression, etc.
Right. Good point.
I am successful in my career, but I also have clinical depression.
Right.
And sometimes I need to take a genuine mental health day because of that. But because of the stigma in the workplace against mental health, I don't feel comfortable telling them that I'm depressed and I need a day off work, even though a day off work is going to increase my productivity in the long run.
Barbara, you want to take a shot at that first?
Yeah, I would say that's a sick day, period. I'm calling because I'm sick and I can't come in today. That is a sick day, period.
Here's
in my mind.
Well, I'm going to be a little more gray area here. Of course, if your net productivity is going to be acceptable, then you should have the flexibility. As I well know, depressed people have better days, work days, better hours, and worse hours. And a wise employer would honor that because net, you're still pulling your weight. You don't have to. Nobody's going to be the best. There's only one best employee and one worst employee. But assuming you've reasonably met the expectation, when the month is over or the year is over, you have produced an acceptable amount of work. The ethical employer should not care, as Barbara said, whether it's for depression or schizophrenia or cancer, or simply you're just overwhelmed with family responsibilities. But if, in fact, the depression, and this is what the law says, is called reasonable accommodations. If, despite reasonable accommodations, your productivity by when year is done is significantly less than what would be acceptable, then you need to find a job where your level of functioning can allow you to be acceptably productive. Is that an acceptably nuanced response to your concern?
I think so, but I think my issue is actually with the verbiage itself. When you say mental health,
we used
day,
it one time. We most times
to
we
someone who just kind of needs a day off. It almost serves to disenfranchise people who genuinely have issues with mental health.
Okay. I thank you for the perspective. I think we used – thanks very much for the call. I think we used Mental Health Day once. But, yes, I am very concerned a little bit. I understand that there is a value, for example, of being sensitive to language. But I'm worried, as it's going on our college campuses, that our hypersensitivity to microaggressions, whatever benefit derives from that increased sensitization, may be outweighed by the liabilities and everybody just shutting up. Because for me or Barbara, I don't even know who used the word Mental Health Day. I tried to use the word many times, a sick day when you are well. But and I think one time we used the word Mental Health Day, and that engendered a caller who was offended that we were disenfranchising. I think we need to take a deep breath and recognize the relative, assess the relative value and costs of our being hypersensitized. Barbara, you'd like to add anything to that before we go to the phones?
No, you know, I'm not one to get very excited over somebody's use or misuse of a particular word. I do think we've become a nation of people who stands waiting to be offended by something. And I'm not a big fan of that.
Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. What is your perspective on the question of if and when it is ethical to take a mental health day or a sick day when you are well?
Is that me?
It is you.
Ah, all right. Well, you said at the beginning that a related issue or something that you hadn't talked about at all would be appropriate, and this is a related issue, which is I think that the system which allows people to come to work when they are sick and infectiously sick is immoral.
I thought that the system encourages you to not come in when you're sick, or maybe, I guess I'm wrong. I guess it varies depending on how. I don't think anybody wants you to, if you've got a flu. Do you think there are many workplaces that say if you've got the flu and therefore contagious, they want you to come in? They beg you not to come in because you're going to get sued. The employer's going to get sued. Am I missing something?
Well, now taking the role of a customer, many times, I have been, served food and other things by people who were visibly very sick.
Anyway, thank you very much for that perspective. It's certainly another example. You know, that's the problem, in general, with call-in shows and letters to the editor. Sometimes examples are given that are outrageous because it takes an example to make somebody want to make a call. And I just wonder how often, I invite you, my dear listeners, how often have you been in a restaurant where somebody is sneezing, coughing, you know, while they're serving? I got to admit to you, that hasn't happened to me. You know, and I've been to every damn restaurant from McDonald's up to fancy food, and I don't recall anybody ever sneezing and coughing while they're serving me. Maybe it happened once somewhere, but that's the problem with call-in shows. We get these anecdotes of real extreme situations, and I'm guilty of it too, because I was given the examples of the, you know, of the workplace that I visited, the federal building where they were just polishing their nails and whatever, and then the Ford plant where they were stoned and throwing bolts into the differential. So I'm guilty of it too, but let's try to keep perspective on what the norm should be. What is the cosmic norm, Barbara?
I think what the caller was saying is there are some places, and McDonald's may be one of them, I don't know, but I think that's part of the whole movement and minimum wage thing, where you don't get sick days, or you don't get paid if you don't come in. And that obviously is going to encourage people to come in when they're sick. So I agree with you. I don't recall being served by someone who was visibly sick, but that would bother me tremendously. I am bothered when people come to work visibly sniffling and sneezing because it just isn't fair to everybody else. So we need to be sure that everybody has the ability to take those days off.
Right. Again, my board operator, Joanne Marr, just put up something that I can't. I thought I started to see it, and then it fell off. It's something like employees can employers and workers can make a worker feel guilty. about taking a sick day if she's mildly sick and they call that person malingering. It's a gray area, right? You know, exactly. If someone, you know, has a little sniffle because they've got an allergy, you know, or the little scintilla of a small little, you know, stuffed nose, does that mean they should take the day off? Now we're in the gray area day. Probably not. Who knows? But let's go back to the phones. It's fun listening to the callers. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. What is your perspective on the question of when, if ever, is it appropriate to take a sick day when you're well? Hi, it's you.
Hi, me?
Hi. Yes, it is.
Hi. Okay, I think that the query is partially premised on a dichotomy between mind and body that is very accepted in Western culture and medicine, but is not recognized in Eastern culture and medicine. So instead of referring to it as a sick day, when you need a mental health day or a day of rest because you've been putting in 50 to 60 hours a week on a regular basis, I think it should be referred to as a wellness day.
Good perspective.
I like it.
Barbara, yeah, thank you very much for the call.
Yeah. And that Barbara makes a lot of sense, by the way.
Good. Everybody agrees that she tends to make a lot of sense.
Thank you. Thank you both.
I agree. And again, we do tend to create straw men in the extremists. So our caller said, if you're working 50 to 60 hours a week consistently, but when one looks at the data for the percentage of people who are really working 50 to 60 hours a week and not, for example, as the study I cited in the beginning of the show, they spend an average of, you know, even a 35 or 40-hour a week worker is spending 2 or 3 hours a day on Facebook, at work, on March Madness, on whatever, you know, the arguments for the worker begin to dissipate. Clearly, for the 50 to 60-hour week worker who's tired and wants to take a day off to recycle, there isn't much of an argument there. But we're trying to talk about the averages, not the extremes. So,
well, I guess, though, the whole purpose of this is to begin, in my mind, to sort of flesh out what should it look like as we move forward. What kind of policy should we have that would be fair? And it seems like there needs to be some more flexibility and perhaps some change in word terminology. I like the idea of wellness days, and you get X number of wellness days a year, and you have the discretion to take them. And people who abuse that or violate that or are stupid enough to post their pictures on social media, that would be something that the supervisor discusses with them, because it's all gray. There's no black and white here, except in the very extreme cases. It's all gray.
Let's put this to the practical test. Let's take we'll start it at the most simple level. Let's say, Barbara Nemco, you owned a candy store, and you had one employee, and you were deciding, should you have a wellness day, and where they can take a day whenever they feel the need to be well, up to X number of days a year. In which case, you know that some workers will, and that worker may take all those days, whether he or she is well or not. Would you call them sick days? Would you call them PTOs, paid time off, and whatever you want? Or would you, or as I said, would you label it as wellness day? Well, if you were owning that candy store, what would be the policy that you would actually have?
I would make it probably PTO, and I would say, look, when you're not here, I'm the only person here, and I need somebody else. So, to the extent that you can, if you can tell me in advance that you're going to be taking a week from Thursday off, that would help me to call in somebody who is going to take your place so that we can get the day's work done. Clearly, you wake up in the morning and you're sick, you can't give me advance notice, you just call me and tell me that you're not going to be in because you're really sick, period. Now, if you need to take a day to go to do whatever you need to do, just tell me in advance, and then we're good. That's the policy I would use. Don't lie to me. Just tell me, and these are the number of paid days that you get when you're not here.
Okay, let's go beyond now the candy store. You're currently the Napa County Superintendent of Schools. You have 200 employees. Mm-hmm. Would you, and you think about the cosmic good, what is best for your workers, for the customers you serve, and for society, would the policy you would implement if you had fiat power as a superintendent, would you label it wellness days? which has the advantage of encompassing a wider range of reasons why people would take off? Would you call them sick days, which would imply that the person would therefore have to lie to be taking a day off when not sick? Or would you call it personal time off, which doesn't imply that it's a pleasant? When you call it a wellness day, that implies it's a good thing to do. PTO is much more neutral. What would you, as a superintendent of schools, call it?
Well, not that I want to say we're a model workplace, but we have both. We have sick days, and we have PTO days,
and
we have flexible schedules.
I'm just curious, by the way. So if I am working for the government, in your case, the Napa County Office of Education, what is the workday expectation? How many holidays do I get? How many sick days? How many personal time off? How many vacation days do I get?
Oh,
ballpark.
Can I call in next week and tell you the exact number of days? I don't want to misquote it.
Yeah, just give me an estimate now.
But we have all those categories. So everybody gets, for Christmas, we're fairly generous because you get Christmas Eve and you get Christmas Day and you get the day after Christmas. And I believe that's the same for New Year's. For Thanksgiving, we close the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So you have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. So that's a fairly nice...
Well, those are the biggies. What about, like, for Columbus Day or President's Day? Do you get those days?
We get President's Day. Actually, we get 2 days in February. We get Abraham Lincoln and George Washington sometimes lumped together and sometimes separately. That's negotiated.
What about vacation? How much ballpark? How much vacation? Does everybody get the same amount of vacation? How many vacation days or weeks are we? Isn't the office closed or something, or decreased hours during the summer?
I'm telling you all the days that the office was closed, so those are paid vacations.
I mean summer, like during the summers. There's no holiday, but like summers or...
We, for a number of years, operated 4 days a week, 10 hours a day. So, yes, the office was closed on Friday, but everybody was still putting in the same 40 hours, just doing it in 4 days. And two reasons for that were that typically in the summer, which is the best time for people to take vacations because
sure.
We don't have students in the schools or teachers around, on a Friday, there were lots of people taking their vacation, which we encourage because we don't let you carry more than 10 vacation days over into the next year. So, yes, Friday, if a customer came in, a parent or whoever, a teacher who wanted something, typically whoever they wanted wasn't going to be there. So it made a lot of sense to just close on Friday, and then you also save on all the air conditioning and electricity and all
sure,
that
sure,
stuff.
Sure, sure. That's not an issue. I'm talking about...
But we don't do that anymore.
How many weeks of vacation, labeled vacation, and how much sick day ballpark? I know you don't have the exact number, but are we talking 10 sick days a year,
I'm
roughly?
I'm thinking about 10 sick days a year.
And how many vacation days on top of the holidays?
Oh, I don't know that we have specific vacation days on top of the holidays. I think those are the vacation days.
Okay. Anyway, all right. All our lines continue to be lighted up, so we will...
Topic.
Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko and Barbara Nemko. What is your perspective on the issue of sick days when you're not sick? It is your turn on the air. Hi. Are you there? Let's go to the next line. Welcome to the show. What is your perspective?
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I just had a comment to make.
Sure.
About people in restaurants working who are sick. I believe it was Cross Currents, but it might have been a different KLW show I was listening to the other day. And there was a woman who I guess is a scholar at Berkeley who studies the food industry, and she said flat out that many, if not most, restaurants require people to come to work even when they are sick.
That shocks me, but I appreciate your perspective. Thanks very much for the call. Let's try to get as many perspectives as we can. Back to the phones. Welcome to the show. It's your turn on the air. What is your perspective?
Hello?
Hi. Hi, it's you.
Oh, okay. We have a fantastic policy that was put in 10 years ago, and I'm a business owner with 60 employees.
Okay.
And what we did is that we did what Barbara pretty much said, and that is we took all the vacation days and all of the sick days, called them all paid time off.
Mm-hmm.
So when a person is eligible, which is usually after 90 days,
mm-hmm.
they end up with 30 paid time off days. and they can use that as vacation, for sick time, whatever they want. And the day that they say, I don't feel like going to work, they can use one of those.
Right. The question often is with PTO is, can it be carried forward? Because if it can be carried forward, then they will be tempted to not take it when they're not really sick, and then they come in sort of sick. Can it be carried forward?
So the answer to that is that you're able to carry one day forward.
One day forward for how long? I mean, one day.
You can carry as many days as you have accrued up to the end of the first quarter.
Up to the first quarter of the subsequent year? Is it by the month?
By year, correct.
So if you've got 30 days off and you've taken 7 in that 1 year, you can carry forth how many to the next year?
23.
I see. So you can carry, but only to the next quarter.
Yep, because we are a day-to-day dependent business, which means that people depend on other people to do their job.
Exactly.
So that's what we do with that. And if they choose not to take it, we pay them.
Oh, interesting. Okay, thanks very much for your perspective. Let's take another call. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. Barbara, unless there was something you wanted to add, because he was basically agreeing with you, I assumed that you didn't want to.
Anybody who agrees with me, I just say thanks.
Exactly. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to the show. It's your turn on the air. What is your perspective on this question? On this question of paid family, sick days when you're not sick.
Hello.
Hello. Oh,
great, Marty. I love your show. Listen to you very frequently on Sundays.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. Just a big note here. I used to manage a restaurant.
Huh?
And if the workers did not come to work, they would not get paid.
Right. That's what we talked about earlier, right?
Right. So people would always come in sick, and I've been served frequently by people with the flu.
Mm.
They can mask a cough or a sore throat, see? They might not be sneezing or sniffling at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten so sick from being served by servers or maybe even chefs or cooks being sick and preparing.
Sure, how would we know?
And that was Barbara's point earlier, yes, if they don't reach a certain number of hours, they don't even earn the right to sick days. If they're working 10 hours a week, they're not going to get any sick days, and so they if they don't come in, they lose an hour's pay.
Yeah, and also in restaurant work, basically there is no such thing as sick leave. You're sick, you've got to come in, you've got to cover your shift.
Wow.
So, I think that's a caller already mentioned that, and you may have already alluded to that.
But it's fine. It bears me re-mentioning, and that feels yucky and wrong. Let's go back to the phones. Let's take one more call, and then let's get into summation mode. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. What is your perspective?
Hi, is that me?
It is.
Hi. I just wanted to say, in my company, we have a monetary incentive to call in, because if you don't use your sick days in my company and you terminate, you lose them.
So you have an incentive to take those days.
Yes, I've seen some people they'll keep track of their accrual and they'll make sure they've taken all their sick days, because if they terminate, they won't get paid for them.
Right. Thank you very much for the call, Barbara. Let's go into summation mode. Let's try to not just recapitulate our a priori views, but rather, right now, in light of the calls, in light of your best thoughts, in light of us having explored this for a full hour, which is one of the beauties of public radio, we were able to explore this in fairly full dimension. We did a switch, for those of you just joining us, we did a switch sides in the middle debate, where each of us took each side of the debate. We took one side of the debate, whether it's ethical to take a sick day when you're not sick. I took the pro side, then Barbara took the con side, and then we switched, and I took the con side, and she took the pro side. And then we took a lot of calls to get different perspectives. So, Barbara, if you were playing the goddess, you were the wise woman, and you were invoking the goddess within yourself, what do you think is the wise, other than being flexible, we know you said flexible, what would be the specific policy regarding sick days, and not just policy, but the way in which you would actually enact it in real life practice in light of this conversation?
Well, I would certainly, if I'm in the food industry, I would change the policy of not allowing workers to get paid if they're sick. That's frightening to me, because that affects so many people. I certainly would leave a lot of this within parameters. You've got to have certain parameters, because you'll have some people who will decide to take 50 days a year off without any kind of guidelines. But I would not necessarily call them sick days, because I'm somewhat sensitive to the fact that there are other things that would come into that category, and some people are healthier than others, and that doesn't mean they should lose the days. So I would give everybody a certain number of days, and I would call that something neutral like PTO days or wellness days or whatever. I would ask, I don't know how to say this without reiterating what I said. I would ask people if they know in advance, and it's the kind of job that we're dependent on you being there, otherwise somebody has to fill in your job, to let us know in advance. And if it's not that kind of job, if only you do what's on your desk, then you are responsible for getting it done. So I don't need advance notice if you're not going to be there. You can do it whenever you want. You want to come in at 2 o'clock in the morning and do your work that no one else can do, that's fine, as long as it's done at the end of the agreed period. So I know you don't want me to say flexibility, but that's got to be the key within parameters.
Great. I want to make my summary. I want to try to come up with something new. And I'm not sure I believe in this because it just came on the top of my head and it may be wrong. But here's my current thought. We've made an assumption here that what's required needs, we need a policy that is applied flexibly to everybody. But what if we didn't have a policy at all? What if it really was at the hiring level when we choose to hire an individual? Based on that person, if you were to hire somebody, you're going to check their references, their track record, their past. And if in speaking to their past employers, it was clear that this person was very responsible and didn't take days when excessively and really was, you know, one of those, like the callers would say, was hard workers who's very productive or whatever, I would, in my contract with that individual, I would give them much more flexibility because they have proven through their track record they deserve it. But let's say there was some other candidate who I wanted to hire because he or she is good at what they do, but they're, you know, in checking with their references, the one thing they did tend to do is while they were good while they were there, they did tend to take a lot of Fridays and Mondays off, and then when I checked, they really were on social media or whatever, and they just, the sense was that they really did tend to take advantage. I would probably offer a more restrictive policy to that person because if we truly, I used the phrase earlier, if we really celebrate diversity, we are celebrating diversity of work styles. Some workers, for example, need more supervision and more rules. Others thrive better with more flexibility. So I would expand your definition of flexibility beyond a general policy that applied to everybody and then only flexibly implemented to perhaps trying a totally individualized approach with every single employee based on their previous track record. Barbara Nemko, what's your reaction to that? I'd like to give you the last word.
A clarifying question. When you say an individualized approach, does that mean that somebody gets to take 25 days and somebody else gets 10?
I would say yes. If this is a person and I've checked their references and they really have done a good job, not just quantity of work, but there are some people, we all know there have been great discoveries or great accomplishments wherein in one half hour of one's work, one revolutionizes what goes on at the company or in their workplace or whatever. I am going to be far less interested in seat time. It's like in a classroom. It's crazy that we award credits at college based on how many hours your butt is in the chair rather than whether you can pass the damn final. So I would be looking at that individual in toto based on their past performance. There's no perfect solution, but I think the best, most ethical approach is to look at that individual as an individual and create a policy regarding everything, their supervision, based on that person rather than some generalized one-size-fits-all parameter. What do you think?
Wow. I feel a lawsuit coming on. But it's an interesting perspective. Did you say that colleges award credits based on seat time?
Well, you know, I'm saying, well, yeah, you have to pass the exam, but you're not.
Yes,
you can't test out of most courses. If you don't show up at class, you know, certainly in the high schools, if your butt is not in that chair.
Oh, high school. Now that's a different deal.
Right. Anyway, we've got to leave that to another day. Barbara Nemko, thanks as usual for being my co-conspirator on Work with Marty Nemko.
A pleasure, and I want to thank the callers.
Yeah.
Lots of interesting perspectives and ideas.
And intelligent and respectful as always. I love you, dear KALW listeners. My thanks to my board operator, Joanne Marr, as usual, and for her comments. She didn't just operate the board. She made comments, which we added, which I always appreciate, adding to the ferment that goes on here. And of course, all of you. Please join me again next Sunday at 11. I'll do workovers on callers and Eric Weissman on boosting your social skills, reducing your social anxiety, in the workplace. Until next Sunday, this is Marty Nemko for Barbara Nemko, reminding you that we find comfort among those who agree with us, growth among those who don't.